Reading of God's Word, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, and the title of the message today is The Lost Sheep. And these are actually three parables, but it's really one parable. It's one parable in three different viewpoints or three different aspects of one parable. In fact, the Bible points that out in the beginning of this, and he doesn't make a distinction in the verses. It continues straight through. But look at chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So, in light of what they were saying, verse 3, so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Look at verse 7. "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons," that's people that have already been saved, "who need no repentance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning that you would open our eyes, Lord, if we need to be saved, that you'd open our eyes to be saved. And Lord, that we would also have our eyes opened and our hearts touched for the lost that are out there in the wilderness, even that one that needs the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You might have heard the story about the young preacher that was contacted by the local funeral home to do a service, and he didn't know the family. In fact, the person that passed didn't have any family and was just very alone, and so the preacher left early the next morning to do the graveside service, and he made several wrong turns, and he got himself lost. Well, about a half hour later, he arrived at a scene where there was workers, there was a hole, and there was a pile of dirt, but there was no hearse at the graveside, and he noticed that the workers were eating lunch. So the pastor went to the open grave, and he found that the vault lid had already been installed, and so he took his Bible out, and I mean, he preached. And he preached, and when he was done, he asked the men to bow with him in prayer. And after he prayed, he was returning to his car. And as he was walking to his car, one of the men said, "You know, maybe we'd better tell him it's a septic tank." And this man was lost, and he thought that he had found the right place, but he was still lost even after the fact. And that's kind of what happens with sheep. Sheep are like that. In fact, if you look at the parables, or the parable, it's hard for me to remember to say that, it is pictured God's love and his grace and his seeking nature, and his love for us is pictured in three different ways. And we call this the three parables, but it's really just one parable with three aspects. And so in the Greek even, there's no distinction from one parable to the next or from one story to the next. And so look at the first verse again, and let's get this into context. He says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained." Now, verse 1 is a picture of the sinners that are following him. The tax collectors, they're wanting to hear Jesus. And then verse 2 is about the religious of the day. The scribes and the Pharisees, they're wanting to see what he has to say. But they're coming with a critical mindset. And so look at what they say in verse 2, which this is an honor in my opinion. They say, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Aren't you glad that Jesus receives sinners? That's what he came to do, is to receive sinners, to seek and to save that which is lost. So look at verse 3. "So he spoke this parable to them." And then that parable is listed in three different ways. Now, you might want to, where it says that he receives sinners and eats with them, you might want to make a note of 1 Timothy 1:15, because 1 Timothy 1:15 says that he had come, that it's a worthy, and it's a saying that's worthy to be accepted, that Jesus has come to save sinners. That's why he came. So these parables are about the love of Jesus and the grace of God and his desire to save sinners. Now, before we get into this, think about this one thing, that even one person that is lost, his love for that one person is so great that God does all kinds of things in human history to reach that one person that is lost. That's how powerful the love of God is. The word lost is used five times throughout these scriptures, through the lost coin, through the lost son. You'll see the word lost five times. The word lost in the Bible, it is a Bible word. It means that we are separated from God. It's the word that God chose to use to describe our hearts and our condition apart from Jesus Christ. So our first point is this: sinners are like the lost sheep. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Sinners are like the lost sheep. They're lost by nature and not understanding their lost condition. Think about that. It's their nature to get lost. Look at the parable. He says, what man, starting in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Until he finds it. The scripture there is telling us that he searches, that he's patient, that God continues to search until he finds the lost sheep. Now the picture there is that the shepherd, the good shepherd, leaves the 99 in the wilderness, the one lamb is lost, and he goes after that one lamb. And you need to understand about sheep. Sheep are different than any other animal. In fact, sheep are defenseless. You can remember it by the D's. They're defenseless, directionless, and they're dumb. You say, oh, that's mean. Don't tell that sheep that he's dumb. Well, they are. They're dumb. In fact, you won't see sheep used in a circus. You can't train sheep to do circus acts. You look at, you know what the sheep do? Sheep are in, and now we're sheep too. I'm not saying y'all are dumb, but we are sheep. We're defenseless. We're a little bit dumb, and we're directionless, and we're dumb. And apart from Christ, we're all three. Now, here's the picture. This one sheep wandered off. He was grazing on a little grass here, and then he looked up, and he saw a little green grass right there, and before you know it, that sheep had wandered away from the herd. He'd got away from them. And so now he's off somewhere, and he's lost. And what sheep do is when they finally realize they're lost, you know what they typically do? They lay down, and they begin to baa, baa, like that. And that's how you got to go call a sheep, is the same way. They go to bleating. And so they go to bleating out there, and they're out there by themselves, and they have wandered away because they were grazing and not paying attention to the fold. That is a description of what we do in our spiritual lostness. In fact, you can be brilliant. You can be a heart surgeon. You can be a brain surgeon. You can be brilliant, and you can be in danger, and you can be away from the fold, and you can be lost. Because what happens is we tend to get to grazing on something. Well, I'll just graze on a beer here, and I'll graze on a beer there. Well, I'll just graze on this a little bit, and I'll graze on that a little bit. And before you know it, you've wandered way away from the Word of God and the hearing of the Word of God that can save your soul. And so Jesus says, I'm the type shepherd that I'll see that person that's prone to wander, like the song Sarah played, that's prone to wander. I'll see that person, and I'm going to go after that person because that sheep now has put itself in a dangerous position by the world. So they're lost by nature and not understanding their lost condition. So that shepherd goes to find that one lost sheep. You know what I have found? And you may have found this too. That when God puts people on your heart and he shows you a lamb that has wandered away and he shows you a person that needs to be saved, that needs Jesus, did you know when you go to them and you're honest with them and you just simply share the gospel with them, that they're typically receptive? But if you go to them and you start judging them and beating them up and saying, I'm better than you are, you know, you don't have to be this way, and you start doing all that, that's the world's way of reaching people. But God's way of reaching people is with the gospel. It's the simple love of the gospel. And when we try to reach them with the gospel, they listen. Just last week, I was talking to a man that's in the hospital. And a man had called me and said that he needs the gospel. This man needs the Lord. So I grabbed a Bible and I went to see him. And this man has had a heart that is he's a smart man. He works hard, and I really like this man. I admire this man. And began to share the gospel with him, and he got real quiet. Tears welled up in his eyes because the gospel, it's not anything I'm doing. It's the power of the gospel. The gospel reaches the lost heart. The gospel draws you to the Savior. It's the simplicity of the gospel. Kevin followed up and went and saw the same guy. Was that Friday? Went and saw the same guy Friday. And the guy told Kevin, said, when I get out of this, I'm getting in church and I'm getting my life right. And it's the gospel that draws us back to the shepherd and back to the fold and to the fold. And so he says, you leave them and you go to find that one that is lost until you find it. And then look at verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now that's real important. In fact, the picture there is that when the shepherd gets to the sheep doesn't know how to find its way back. It's helpless. We're helpless in our nature. Apart from Christ, we're helpless in how to find God. But the shepherd comes to us, and the Holy Spirit undergirds us, and the Holy Spirit shows us our need, and he begins to woo us. He's basically bleeding, trying to get us to bleat. And I'm not saying bleeding, B-L-E-A-T. I don't know if I spelled that right. I-N-G. That's right. Bleeding. And so he's wooing us to himself. You know, it reminds me, it's their nature. It's what a sheep does. It gets lost. It reminds me that when we were kids, me and Greg decided to dig a duck pond. And we dug a duck pond right off the back patio. I mean, literally, you could walk right off the back patio right into the pond. And we grabbed our shovels and we dug this great big pond. We put the water hose in it and we filled it up with water. And we went and we had two white Muskogee ducks. And we went to the chicken pen and we caught those ducks. And we took them up there and we threw them in our brand new found duck pond. And I mean, they flew right out of the duck pond. So we'd catch them again, and we threw them right back into the duck pond. And that went over and over and over, and they'd fly right back out of the duck pond. And I looked at Greg, and I said, well, these ducks are crazy. They're ducks. It's their nature. They're supposed to be in the water. Well, they wanted to discover the water by themselves is the only thing I can figure. Well, that night when my dad got home, and my dad walks out and sees that there's a duck pond been dug at the end of our patio full of water and mud, well, we can hear the belt begin to slide through the little slits on the loops. And my mother intervened. And she said, oh, Gary, they're just kids. That's what kids do. Oh, I was glad that she interceded on our behalf. So you ask yourself, why do sheep get lost? It's what they do. That's what sheep do. They're doing what their nature does. Isaiah 53:6 says this, speaking of us. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. He says, we've gone astray. We went astray by our sin. We inherited the sin nature. Romans 3:10 and 11 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. So you ask yourself, is there anybody righteous? Well, apart from Jesus, there's none righteous. Everybody has to come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ to get to heaven. Everybody, each and every single one individually. And that's why Paul in Romans made sure to say this the way the Holy Spirit told him to. There is none righteous. No, and then he says it again, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. So if there's none that seeks after God or understands, and you say, well, that contradicts the Bible. You say, well, the Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. You know what makes a person seek the Lord? It's because the Lord is seeking the person. A person starts seeking the Lord because the Holy Spirit starts drawing them. The Holy Spirit starts calling them. He's calling them. He's wooing them. And then that person starts responding and begins to seek the Lord. And he says, if you'll seek me, you will find me. Why? Because the shepherd is doing the calling, and the shepherd is in control of the events, and the shepherd has the ability to bring you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He can open your eyes to understand who he is. But that brings us to our second point. Being lost is a helpless feeling because the dangers are real. You see, that sheep gets off there by himself after he's full and he realizes he's lost. He just concedes to his lost condition. In other words, he tries to make the best of life right where he's at. He just concedes to it. Isn't that what lost people do? Well, I'm grazing on the riches of the world, or I'm grazing on this, or I'm grazing on that, and I'll just concede that that's what life is all about. I'll just concede that there's nothing greater than that. I'll just be a good dad. I'll just be a good family man. I'll just be a good this, and I'll be a good that, and everything will be good. And then they begin to not think about their soul. And that's why it's important for us. Listen, most lost people are not going to come into the church. You've got to go to them. But the key is when we go to them, most of the time they respond when we go to them. If we go to them with the gospel. So they get lost. And you know what it does? It causes them to be exposed to danger. Being lost is a helpless feeling. Have you ever met people? Well, think about yourself. We met ourselves. I remember me before I got saved. Do you remember you before you got saved? Some of you were really, really young. It's a little bit harder because you've been saved for so many years. But I was old enough that I can remember the B.C. years, the before Christ years, pretty good. And I want to tell you, I remember that helpless feeling because I didn't really know. And people will say, well, you're a smart guy. Well, they didn't say that about me, but they do other people. Well, you're a smart guy. I mean, surely you know how to be saved. Well, I thought I knew how to be saved, but it wasn't working out for me. I thought what I knew about salvation was supposed to change my life. Everybody I knew that was a Christian, they had their lives changed. My life didn't seem to change. The problem was, is I was in a helpless condition until the Savior. I was out. In fact, the first big conviction that drew me to the Lord, I was by myself just before daylight at a plan table on a job site getting things ready before everybody got there. And out of the clear blue, because of prayers, the shepherd came down there where I was at. Jesus, I didn't see him physically, but he came down there where I was at, all by myself, down there in that little valley with a plan table. Linda, I just realized you're here today. Good to see you today. And all by myself, and you know what Jesus did? He convicted me of my sin. I mean, right there, I didn't care to graze anymore. In the pasture of what I was doing. Right there, I felt conviction. I felt drawn, and I didn't know how to explain it. So I went straight to Dave Sandlin at the job shack, and I said, Dave, I'm quitting my job today. I got to go get around Christians. Now, I'm not telling everybody, go quit your job. I'm just saying it's what God did in my heart. I was so hungry to know how to be saved. And it wasn't very many weeks later that I got saved in the Days Inn Hotel in Corsicana, Texas. And it was because the Savior came out, and I was helpless. And I was exposed to danger. Did you know that a sheep doesn't have porcupines? It has real fluffy, woolly stuff. In fact, sheep are 100% cotton. But did you know that a sheep doesn't have any way to defend itself? They don't have sharp claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They have no way to defend themselves. They are open prey to the predator. You and I, apart from Jesus Christ, listen, we are open prey to the devil. We are helpless, and we're open prey to the devil. It's lost folks, by their nature, feel cornered. In other words, when you go to a person and you share the Lord, it's important. Here again, I can't stress this enough. Share the gospel. Don't judge people because we're no different. We're no better. The only thing that makes us different is the blood of Jesus Christ. The fact that he covered us with his blood. The fact that we received it and we repented of our sins and that new nature begins to change us and make us different and want to live for him and want to live a holy life. And then when we mess up, we get convicted of our sins and we pray and we ask God to forgive us of our sins. But when we go to a lost person, they don't understand all those dynamics. The only thing that they understand is they need to understand that they're loved by God, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and that he came that they could be saved and have meaning and have purpose and have all those things that they need, and that apart from salvation, that they're facing his judgment. Not because of us, they're facing his judgment because they've sinned against him, just like we have sinned against him. And what the gospel does is it reveals those facts. And so a person no longer feels cornered. They don't feel cornered. They feel now that light is being given to me. Hope is being given to me. Direction is being given to me. There is something I can now respond to that can change my life. It's kind of like the two skunks. Remember the two skunks? The two skunks are going along, and a coyote comes along, and he corners the two skunks. The two skunks didn't know what to do. They knew that they were fixing to get eaten. One skunk turned to the other skunk and said, "Let us spray." And when we come to the Lord and when we pray, I'm going somewhere with this. When we come to the Lord and when we repent of our sins, listen, sometimes God has to put us in a corner. Have you ever heard that saying, when you hit the bottom of a barrel? This sheep that was lost in this parable had hit the bottom of the barrel. That's where he was at. And then Jesus shows up. Look at the rest of the verses. He says in verse 5, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That's the picture of God's grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace. He picks up. Listen, have you ever sung that song, that hymn, Love Lifted Me? Love lifted me. He picks us up and he carries us by his grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 is all about the work of the Holy Spirit. Then look at verse 6. And when he comes home, home is not being lost and in the devil's territory. Home is being saved and in the Lord's territory. That's what home is. We got lost in the Garden of Eden, but Jesus, the second Adam, came so that he could call us back home, so that we could come home. And then in verse 6 he says, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And look at what Jesus says in verse 7. He says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven. I tell you, this is so powerful. He says, there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner. One sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I want to take you back to verse 1 for a minute. The Bible says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. Now we're in chapter 15 of Luke, and here's the tax collectors. There's tax collectors listening to this parable. There's tax collectors listening to what I just preached. Tax collectors listening to what I just read. And they're hearing Jesus, and they're hearing something from Jesus they've never heard before. They've heard how they're not keeping the law. They've heard how they're not keeping the traditions. They've heard how they're so sorry, and they're useless, and they're scoundrels. And then all of a sudden they hear from a Savior that they're loved, and that they're sheep, and that they're lost, and that they can be saved, and that heaven rejoices over the repentance of one sinner. And then we can skip over to Luke chapter 18, verse 10, and we see, just a little bit later, we see two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. I wonder if this tax collector in verse 10 of chapter 18 is one of the tax collectors in chapter 15, verse 1, because these two went in there, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Don't go to the Lord with a prayer like that. That's not good. Extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this, singular, or even as this tax collector. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, singular, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now skip over one more chapter to Luke chapter 19. And look at verse 2. This is when Jesus is passing through Jericho. In fact, the Bible says that he had to. Now behold, watch this. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now an individual has a name. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And you know the rest of the story of Zacchaeus. Verse 5, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. By the way, these scriptures are going to be the theme verses for our ingathering in March, for this year's ingathering that we have every March. And it's when we met together, we decided on the phrase, climb high, because that's what Zacchaeus did. His faith made him climb high. He climbed up into that sycamore tree, and Jesus saw him there and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house today. I wonder if that tax collector Zacchaeus is the same one in chapter 15, verse 1. I wonder if he's the same one in chapter 18, verse 10. And then I love what Jesus concludes that story with in verse 10 of chapter 19. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You want to know what the vision statement is of Mount Sylvan Baptist Church? You want the vision statement is of your heart as a Christian? That's what it is. It's to seek and to save that which is lost in whatever way God has gifted you to do that. Sometimes it's helping with those that are going. Sometimes it's through prayer. It's a multitude of ways that we work together, and that's our third point. Jesus came to seek and to save lost sinners. The shepherd leaves 99 just for one. Think about these lessons. Salvation is a work of God, not of works. Think about the rejoicing. I've heard, and they don't mean it that way, and I hadn't heard it here, but I've heard it before, and I know it's not intentionally, but I've heard mission teams that'll go on a mission trip, and they may spend $8,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to go on the mission trip. And they may go halfway around the world and they win one person to Christ. And then there's murmuring on the way back that, well, maybe we shouldn't have gone here. Maybe we wasted our money. How much value do you put on one soul? I want to tell you, I applaud missionaries. Missionaries sometimes go and work for years and maybe they'll win one. But I'll tell you, the work that they do when they're dead and gone, the people that come in behind them may win multitudes. The Bible says that the fields are white for harvest. Pray for laborers of the harvest. I pray we'll never be a church that ever complains over the expenditure of winning one soul to Jesus Christ. If it was your soul, would it be worth it? I think it would be. If it was my soul, there ain't enough money in this whole wide world. That's how valuable our soul is to God. Think about this as we pray. We've all heard the story of the Titanic. So you know the story of the Titanic and how it was considered the unsinkable ship. But what you might not know is when that Titanic sunk April the 15th, actually April 14th into the 15th, at 2:20 a.m. in the morning, 1,500 people that lost their lives. When the Titanic sank, families began to gather at the ship line headquarters, trying to see if their loved ones made it or not. So they started compiling a list, and on one sign, they put up two signs. On this sign over here, it said saved. On this sign over here, it said lost. And they started, as the names would come in, they would start putting names under the lost, and they'd start putting names under the survivors under the saved column. There's coming a day when each one of us is going to pass this life. And the only two words that are going to matter anymore in life are those two words, saved or lost. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray that we'll be a people like our good shepherd. You said in your word that you conform us to the image of Christ, that you're making us like yourself. And Lord, if we're going to be like you, we have to value the soul. And God, if our heart has become calloused, if, Lord, we've come to a place in our life that we no longer feel compassion or empathy towards those who are lost, God, I pray that even at this moment that you would stir our hearts. Lord, help us to put ourselves in the shoes of that one individual that is lost. And Lord, we pray that you would open doors for me, for Kevin, for Jordan, for this church, for our deacons, for our teachers. Lord, for all that are here at Mount Sylvan today, God, open doors for us to share the gospel, that we wouldn't be afraid or ashamed to share the saving power, that life preserver that is in the gospel, so that folks can go under the saved column and not the lost column. And Lord, we pray for those doors to be opened this week. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, may we be on fire that our vision and that our heart would be that of a missionary, reaching people right next door. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.